Yeah, I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. I'm James Thomas, the Board Vice President. I will be conducting this meeting while Mr. Judge is absent, so thank everybody for being here, board, community, administrative staff. We have, all of our members are here besides Mr. Judge, Mr. Padron, and everybody else is present. Next, we'll stand for our invocation led by Dr. Petrie.
Dear Lord, we thank you for another day of life itself. On this day, let us be especially grateful to commemorate prayerfully that it is Juneteenth, a truly meaningful day in our nation's history and a day of thanksgiving and repentance. Keep the importance of days like Juneteenth in our hearts and minds. Grant us clear minds and clear thoughts during this meeting, and grant all of us safe travels home. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Please stay standing for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So next on our agenda, we have our June 2023 staff recognition. So I will read what one of our branch managers sent in concerning one of our amazing staff members. So Ms. Victoria Coleman, who couldn't be here with us tonight, has been a bright light amongst library staff since she began working here in 2018. She started out as a library technical assistant one at the South Regional Branch and was quickly promoted to Library Technical Assistant 3 at the Chenier Branch, where she was responsible for overseeing the branch's daily operations. Victoria is a hard worker and prefers to keep busy at all times of the day, and she moved up to the Library Associate 1 position at the main library in 2021 in search of a fast-paced environment. It is extremely rare for Victoria to not volunteer to complete a project that needs to be done, from weeding projects and shelf reading to book displays. Victoria is always working on something, and her bright, friendly personality allows her to make friends among coworkers and patrons alike, no matter where she is. Therefore, when management at Maine Library needed a staff member from Maine to fill in at the Chenier while waiting for the vacant LTA 3 position to be upgraded, they called on Victoria. Not only was she already familiar with the day-to-day operations and procedures at the branch, but she could also be trusted to make sure the patrons who utilized the Chenier branch did not have any sort of lapse in services they received. This substitute position was temporary and was only expected to last a couple of months at most, but it ended up taking nearly 8 months to upgrade the position at Chenier and then fill it. Throughout it all, Victoria has not complained once. In fact, she has been cheerful and accommodating when her schedule occasionally needed to be adjusted due to other absences at the branch, and has even found a way to keep busy when things are slow. She has started offering grab-and-go crafts for children at the branch under the supervision of a librarian at the main library. She even plans and executes book displays to accompany the crafts. Throughout her nearly 5 years with the Lafayette Public Library, Victoria has remained dependable, adaptable, and extremely generous and passionate about what she does here. She constantly goes above and beyond to help patrons and offers them the highest quality customer service. Patrons and staff alike are so lucky to have her here. So let's give it up for Ms. Victoria Coleman. She's definitely someone that is a shining star amongst our employees, and I know that the administrative staff is happy. She's on our team. So great job, Victoria, who couldn't be here with us tonight. Okay, next on our agenda, we have the approval of minutes of the April 17th regular board meeting, and also the approval of minutes of the May 15th regular board meeting. Do any of my colleagues have any questions or comments concerning those minutes?
Mr. President or Vice President, if there's no comments or questions, I'll move to accept the board the minutes as written.
It's been moved by Ms. Armbruster to accept the minutes.
Second.
And a second by Dr. Petrie.
One comment.
And we...
Lynette Mejia.
Good evening. My name is Lynette Mejia, and I live in Lafayette Parish. The minutes in the facilities update for the May 2023 under South Regional Upgrades mentioned, quote, the budget is getting tight. I believe that line needs to be explicated in the minutes, as this is a project that has been going back and forth under this board's leadership for a couple of years now. During the meeting, three board members, Mr. Kelly, Mr. Judge, and Ms. Armbruster, asked Larry Angel about the cost overruns and the delays, and Mr. Angel made it very clear as to what had happened. He said, quote, we had funding. If we would have gone out for bid at the time we had construction docks ready for the expansion project, we would have missed all these price increases, and we would have had a larger facility with redundant chillers, which are better than what we are proposing here. So we missed our opportunity. You guys, meaning the board, wanted to hold things back. But as far as the budget went for the project itself, it was on point. We would have had more options that would have come in at a way lower price, end quote. That is a direct quote, which you can check with the meeting audio. In addition, Mr. Angel also informed the board that their plan to scale back the improvements at South Regional had added another $300,000 to $400,000 in engineering and architects' fees to the project. Since this board is tasked with, above all, the responsibility of handling the library's budget, including capital outlay, in a fiscally responsible manner, I ask that you include in the minutes a line indicating that Mr. Angel informed the board that, had the board proceeded with the construction documents it was given when the project began, they would have saved taxpayers both the extra $300,000 to $400,000 on design and had a larger facility with more efficient cooling equipment due to avoiding price increases with the pandemic. Their negligence and mismanagement of the board's budget, of the library's budget, should be reflected in the official record. I also intend to bring this to the attention of the parish council. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have a comment.
Ms. Armbruster.
The board is aware that Mr. Ghislaine sent out an email in response to those comments to clarify that it was actually the director that put that project on hold and not the board. So again, if you have any questions for our director, please do so right now, but that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any other board comments? Hearing none. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion is carried. Next item on the agenda is comments from the library, Lafayette Public Library Foundation report. Okay, none. So next on the agenda is our director's report and comments. Mr. Ghislaine.
Okay, so I don't have a lot to report. I attended the summer reading kickoff, and by attended, I mean I spent a couple of hours in a dunk tank, most of it in the water. I will be attending the annual conference of the American Library Association this coming weekend. I would like to take a moment to say something about the millage rates, which are on tonight's agenda. When the rates are passed, voters are passing both a rate and an estimated amount. When rates are rolled forward to a higher rate, it is because at some point during the life of the tax, the assessment was lowered and the amount expected to be collected was lowered. The adjusted maximum allowable rate is meant to offset losses in revenue. That said, what I am asking the board to do tonight is to set our rate at the maximum allowable rate because next year is an assessment year, and our maximum allowable rate will be lowered if we don't roll it forward. I would also propose that next year we make up any overage by asking for a lower rate to be collected. Thus, over a two-year period, we would not cost the taxpayers any money. The extra money we collected this year, we would take from the fund balance next year. I've spent most of the past month speaking with elected officials and property owners about acquiring land and about beginning work on a Northeast library. And I've also spent a lot of the past few months finding outside funding for the charging stations at West Regional and learning about what state agencies and what state laws actually apply to the charging stations and how they should be connected and funded and accounted for. For anyone who hasn't spoken to me about either of these subjects, you don't have the whole picture, so please feel free to reach out to me. And I know everyone's probably tired of my harping on civility in the library, but library staff are not trying to prevent people from receiving services, nor are staff lying to patrons. So when a staff member delivers unfortunate news about a desired item or service or policy, the correct reaction is not to accuse that person of lying or to accuse that person of dereliction of duty. With regard to policies, the board approves policies. With regard to library procedures, a staff under 24/7 scrutiny for the past 5 years is not trying to pick a fight. At the moment that a patron-staff interaction reaches the line of harassment on behalf of the public, we ban patrons in accordance with a library policy passed by the board. And if it's the staff member, we discipline staff in accordance with LCG policies. There is a lot of hostility in the world right now, and none of the people working the desks at the library are looking for a fight. So please keep that in mind. A lot of people in Lafayette really like the library and enjoy the library. And I know that some of the services have suffered or some of the items aren't delivered in a timely fashion, and we are doing our best to contact vendors, but the frontline staff can't help in that case. And that is actually all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Galane. So next on our agenda, we have the Assistant Director's report and comments.
I'm keeping it short tonight, too. Recent staff changes include four LTA1s being hired from the outside: Kristen Foreman, Shaylin Calvi, Dante Saracino, and Chloe Morrow. Sonia Jones was hired as the accounting specialist. And then we're still in the process of filling the following positions: Librarian 1, Librarian 2, LTA 1, Director's Executive Secretary, and Library Community Relations Specialist. I think we'll be making some headway on a couple of those positions soon. Summer reading kickoff was a huge success. We had over 2,000 people come out for face painting, balloon animals, fun jumps, magic shows, and more. So far, we've had 2,187 patrons sign up for the 100 Days of Reading Summer Challenge, with almost 7,000 days logged between all of the active readers. The challenge runs through September 8th, so there's still plenty of time to sign up and earn prizes. The Maine Library is once again partnering with Second Harvest Food Bank to offer the summer feeding program. Children ages 3 to 18 can receive a free snack Monday through Friday between 3 and 4 p.m. through August 11th in the craft room on the first floor. And finally, I attended the Friends of the Library board meeting, as well as various summer reading kickoff and early literacy initiative meetings.
Thank you, Ms. Monroe. Next on our agenda is our facilities update and financial report. Mr. Galane.
Larry is out, so it's back to me. So, facilities report, the roofing project is done, and we have submitted for, it's not called complete, but we have submitted all of the paperwork to LCG indicating that the work is complete and we have paid the contractors. Nothing has changed with South or North since we last met. Nothing major has broken in Larry's absence. Larry did supply something about the finances. You have the finances in your hand with the usual highlighted parts. We've collected just over $12.2 million. We've spent just over $6.8 million. But to give you an idea of where that stands compared to last year, we've actually collected more this year than we did last year. And while expenses this year were $6.8 million, and at this time last year were $6.6 million, most of the $700,000 of that was one-time capital expenses. Most of that was the main roof project, so our operating costs are actually lower than last year at this moment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Galane. And I also want to congratulate Mr. Angel and his wife, who welcomed a baby into their family, so congrats to them. So next on our agenda, under new business, is library book discards for March through May 2023. Do we have a number for that, Mr. Galane? I didn't see it in our packet.
It's not in your package because the person who usually does that is not here anymore. It's 3,186 items. Books.
Thank you. Any board comments in regards to that? Ms. Monroe, do we have any public comments for book discards? Okay, thank you. So it's back to the board. If anybody would like to make a motion.
I'll move that we don't have the exact verbiage, but it's pretty consistent, right? So I move that we go ahead and discard the books that were sent out to us via email as per usual procedure. And if the verbiage needs to be cleared up, then please do so.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Armbruster.
I second.
A second by Ms. Arsimo. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion is carried. Next item on our agenda is setting millage rates. I believe, Mr. Galane, if you want to start the discussion.
We have two taxes. The one is at 1.84 and one is at 2.91. The 1.84 is the one that we just renewed. So this is the first year for this one, and the most it can be is 1.84. That is the one that was passed at 2.0 years past, and when it wasn't rolled forward, it was rolled back, and then when it wasn't rolled forward, the maximum could have been 1.97, and we collected that last year. So that one can be at 1.84 is the maximum. The 2.91 actually has a adjusted maximum of 3.12. Next year is an assessment year. So if we collected at 2.91, then once the assessment takes place, it cannot go up again unless we were to go to the voters and ask for a raise. I am proposing, or asking the board actually, that we ask the council to collect at 1.84 and 3.12. If we collect at 3.12, according to Conrad Como, the assessor, we will collect approximately $508,000 more this year than we would have at 2.91. I understand that that is raising a tax, so my suggestion would be that next year, since all of the board members present will still be on the board, barring a tragedy, that you remember this and that we ask the assessor what rate we would have to collect $500,000 less than 2.91, so that over the two-year period it balances out. But we still have the flexibility should anything happen regarding property values or the number of properties on the roll that would lower our revenue and thus jeopardize any of our services.
Thank you, sir. Any board comments?
I have a question.
Dr. Petrie.
Can you do some monetary conversion, if you will, what that 1.84 looks like, what the 2.91 looks like? I don't have all of my forms in front of me. Just off the top of your head.
Well, off the top of my head, I know that the combined millages are bringing in about $12.2 million. So about a fourth of that is the 1.84.
Right.
So
the question beyond my question is, given the stable budget and so on and so forth, what is the compelling reason to generate an additional $500,000 of the taxpayers' money?
That is why I don't have a compelling reason to generate an extra $500,000. That is why I'm proposing that we generate it, and then next year we operate in a $500,000 deficit and take that money right back out of the fund balance. That money would go into the fund balance because we're not going to spend it. But we lose the ability. And so everything is fine right now. And if we go before the council with 2.91, we collect our money, we don't need any more money, that's great. However, in the assessment year, if for any reason tragedy strikes, or in any of the subsequent years, including the assessment year, we have properties go off of the rolls, at that point in time, we could be looking at bringing in less money with cost increasing for everything, pretty much. I think the architect said construction costs are going up 1% a year, 1% a month, and that is why. I was proposing a safety net, and knowing how people feel about taxes, I was proposing that if we collected it, we put it in the fund balance, and then we short ourselves the next year to balance it out. And I felt good about asking y'all that because you're all going to be here next year to remind me that I asked you about that. I will also propose this caveat. Regardless of what you do, there is the chance that if you propose 2.91, that the council, as it has done in the past, though not always, goes with everyone's maximum, seeing as it's an assessment year and all of the property taxes are affected this way. It is also possible that if you go with the maximum, that the parish council will say the voters passed it at 2.91, so we're going to go with 2.91. So regardless of which way you vote, we could see it go the other way.
Right. Well, actually, if I could, as I say, redirect my question to you two who've been on this for a while. I don't have a history beyond the last 15 months. So is there such a thing as a typical response from the board, or could either or both of you speak to that? Or I know it would help us guys.
I can tell you my position, if that's what you're asking.
Well, yes, and Mr. Como's.
I appreciate, Danny, your logic and your planning for the future. I think I can speak for all of us saying no one wants to jeopardize the services that the library can provide, of course. However, just like we don't know what's going to happen next year, we also don't know who's going to be on the board next year, if we're going to remember. The voters voted, it was 2.91 was on the ballot. And so I, and that was my same position last year, I cannot support anything above what the voters approved. I think it's only fair that, you know, the voters didn't, the voters know that the property is assessed and that the millage rate can change. They didn't vote on a dollar amount. They voted on a millage rate.
Right.
And
right.
So that's why, that's my conviction of why I would I support the 2.91. That's what I did last year as well.
I'll begin with an apology to our vice president. I do know that you are Mr. Thomas.
Oh, no, it's okay.
100 years ago, I had a friend, you remind me of his name, James Como. So forgive me, Mr. Vice President.
May I ask that the board speak into the microphones?
Pardon me?
May I ask that the board speak into the microphone so everyone
right.
can hear? Thank you.
I have such a resonant voice, I usually don't worry about it. I can have a coach's voice at the drop of a hat, but I'll use the microphone. Sorry. Mr. Thomas, do you have some perspective that would be helpful to the three of us?
So I definitely understand what Mr. Glenn is proposing. And, of course, in respect to the taxpayers, that's important as well. But I always want to make sure that even if we're asking them to give a little more, it's for valid reasons because it's definitely plan for the future. But I do remember last year when it came before the board, we did keep the rate as is. But I think that, you know, I agree with Mr. Galane's recommendation. And what he wants to do is to add and then subtract from that next month. And we would be kind of balancing ourselves out, so to speak. I think it would be a win-win for the board in the direction and what we want to do in regards to certain things for services. And I think it would be good for the taxpayers because they would say, okay, I'm giving more, but you guys would be taking it from your fund balance this, you know, the following year. So that would be, you know, my recommendation.
Hopefully.
Right. But, you know, you can only plan for the future with what we are given today. So that's the direction they were trying to go. Ms. Arsimo.
Yeah, I have a tendency to agree with Ms. Armbruster. The taxpayers voted for a 2.91 millage rate. If we don't approve the 3.2, given that costs are going up, would we have the money to support the library system and all the things that we have planned, currently planned, if we don't approve it, if we keep it at the 2.91?
Mr. Galane.
Pardon me?
Hopefully.
Oh, hopefully. Okay. And, you know, when we do, or if we do up this millage to 3.12, we do generate an extra $502,000, but that doesn't go back into the taxpayer's pocket if we do bring the millage down. It's a hard decision. This is not an easy decision for me.
Next year, we would not take that $500,000 out of the taxpayers' pockets. So this year, they would pay it. Next year, we would take $500,000 less out. So what I'm proposing is over 2 years, we balance it out. We would take that extra $500,000, it would roll into the fund balance, and our next budget, we would short ourselves on collection so that we took that $500,000 out of the fund balance the next year.
Danny, explain that. How are we going to short ourselves and not take that money?
You're setting the millage rates right now. There is nothing that says you have to set the 1.84 at 1.84. You could collected at one. Please don't. So this year, if you go 1.84 and 3.12, next year you would go 1.84, and rather than go back to 2.91, we would contact the assessor and ask, based on the current situation, what should that 2.91 be to collect $500,000 less? So now I'm making up a number here. So we'd collect at 1.84 and 2.8.
So that would come back to us, and we'd have to approve that next year?
Yes.
And then it would go to the council, and we would hope that the council would approve it?
Yes.
But we still are at the pleasure, really, of the council?
Yeah.
Because
yes.
The council can overrule it.
To give you an idea, when y'all went 1.84 and 2.91 a couple of years ago, the council collected the 1.84 tax at 1.97. They rolled it forward with no input from any of us.
But when they did that, the money did come to the library system. When they rolled it forward,
these are dedicated taxes. All of that money comes to us.
Okay.
It did, Ms. Arsmaugh. I actually pulled out my tax payments, and yes, it says it on there, the 1.97. Thank you for reminding me, because I was wondering why it was 1.97. Yeah.
Any more?
The question I have is,
Mr. Kelly,
we just trying to make a projection for the next year, Mr. Danny. What are you seeing futuristic that it would better benefit the future of the library but kind of cost the taxpayers a little bit more? I'm in favor, Ms. Armbruster, of giving the taxpayers what they voted for and sticking with that. But as the visionary in your position, are you seeing with the increase that we need the money to be allotted on the side?
No. That's why I'm proposing we don't spend it, but we spend it the next year, and so we collect less the next year.
Gotcha.
I just have no ability to predict the future, so I didn't want to give up the possibility that we could roll forward should things go south.
I have another comment.
So I'm Brewster.
And Danny, Mr. Ghislaine, again, I appreciate that. I'm just, God forbid, but I would hate if you weren't here next year either to oversee that. So that's my concern. It's a lot of hypotheticals. I understand we're planning for the future, but I'm just concerned about, you know, if we would be able to fulfill, if that were to go through, fulfill what we agreed.
The minutes will be there. So, you know, they'll be posted. The audio of this discussion will be available. I don't know.
Mr. Kelly?
And what's the timeline that we have before we need to make a decision on that? Or could it be tabled until the next session?
No, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. Thomas. Mr. Ghislaine, are you going to be going to the presenting this to the council?
We will be sending this to LCG.
Okay.
Ms. Arsmaugh?
When does this millage rate come up for a vote with the public?
This one expires in 2026, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I don't know. And given when I look around in Lafayette, I see a lot of new construction going up. So I don't think that property tax collection would go down given what we're seeing in the community. It's just my take on it.
Do we have any more board discussion? Okay, anybody have a motion?
I'm going to make a motion. Knowing that the council, what we decide here today, the council may overrule what we present I'm going to move that we keep the rate at 2.91.
I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Armbruster and a second by Ms. Arsimal. All in favor say aye.
Comments from the public.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
No public comments. Do you want to do a voice vote or roll call?
Voice is fine.
Voice is fine. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? I vote nay. Okay. And that motion is carried. So our next item on the agenda is the Northeast Library land.
No, I'm sorry. I was chuckling.
So I'll open discussion to start with Mr. Galain, if you so please.
Okay, so guessing most of the board knows, or at least some of the board knows what's been going on. I'm not positive because I wasn't, you know, it wasn't at a board meeting. The parish council have, Josh Carlson, the parish council has been speaking with at least two members of the school board. The school board owns property between Louisiana Avenue and Moss. They own 37 and a half acres of property. The Louisiana Avenue frontage just happens to be right across the street from the land that you saw, heard a presentation about at the last meeting. It's at the corner of Shadow Bluff and Louisiana Avenue. And the school board was stepping in to let us know that they had this land available. If we wanted to negotiate to purchase or lease, in subsequent conversations with Justin Centani, the school board member that the school board has decided will handle negotiations with the library, everyone seems to be in favor of a purchase and not a lease. The school board, in very much the way that we could not pay above market value for property, we would not be able to, nor would the school board be able to sell property below market value or below appraisal. So what we are asking right now, since Councilman Carlson and school board members Chasson and Centani have been discussing it, is for the board to give me the authority to negotiate with the school board for to find out what it would cost for 6 acres, what we could get. And after that, I would have to bring that back to the board to decide what they wanted to do. But there is, judging from the time that the elected officials have spent discussing this in the media, it would be nice to actually have the authority to do that. I do not feel comfortable without the board's approval having a conversation about spending the money. And that's where we are.
I have a question, Ms. Arsimal.
Yes, sir. So if you negotiate with the school board, where does that put the other properties? Would we still be looking at the other two properties that y'all had mentioned, which is Shadow Bluff, then there's one on Willow, and then school board property, which is across from Shadow Bluff on Louisiana Avenue?
That is completely the board's call. You have the information about the property. The board can put it on the agenda and discuss it. And
make a decision,
on any of these properties. We have a price on the Louisiana Avenue Shadow Bluff property. We do not have a price on the school board property. And I don't remember if y'all got a price from the Willow property owners or not.
I think I saw a property value of Yeah, I saw a property value, so.
Okay, so then right now.
If there was a negotiated price.
No, they sent an unsolicited offer to you, so.
I have a question, Mr. Thomas.
Yes, Arm Brewster.
And Ms. Bate, this might be, I don't know if you need to be the one to answer this. I was just confused to see this on the agenda. I guess I'm questioning, so if you can explain, why are we having to give the director, or we have to vote to give him the authority to negotiate, but like with the other property that was presented, why didn't we get a proposal before like we did last month?
Correct. And that's a good question.
Thank you.
With the last few options, of course, we did a request for proposals, and the board received those and then discussed them openly and voted on what to do with those proposals. When we received the proposal from Shadow Bluff, it was presented here, and then the board, again, discussed it openly and decided not to take any further action on it at that time. Here we haven't gotten a formal proposal. We haven't gotten a package with an appraisal or any comparables or anything like that. Basically, what the school board has done is said, yes, we're willing to sell part of this property, but we haven't gotten down to brass tack negotiations. I'm the one that told Danny I thought he needed to do this because I don't believe this authority is delegated to him in the bylaws. It's not an approved expense. So I think this goes outside his normal authority of doing the day-to-day administration of the library, and that he needed some directive from the board on how to proceed, whether that be, yes, we would like you on behalf of the board to go negotiate a fair market value or to come up with a proposal with the school board's representative. I felt that he needed a grant from y'all because there is no formal proposal for the board to look at, debate about, and then give direction on. We're kind of having to work with the school board on that. So I felt that the grant was a little necessary because of the bylaws.
Dr. Petrie.
I have an observation. I'm all in favor of the process. My common sense hesitation, not objection, is I'm having trouble with the verb negotiate, because to put it simply, there ain't nothing to negotiate. I would like a verb along the lines of to engage in dialogue with, discussion with the folks from the school board, but negotiate just seems premature to me, and that's just my opinion. I'd like to know what the other trustees think. And Danny, you have your hand on the mic, so I think you have an idea too.
My idea was, until the board gives the library administration the ability to do anything, and the word negotiate is just the word that the councilman had used, I can't ask for an appraisal. The school board is not going to ask for an appraisal. They already had an appraisal done last year when they bought the land. So it would just give me the authority to do my due diligence so that I could come back to the board with, so this is the land that we would want from the school board, and this is what it's worth.
Okay, now I'm liking the phraseology there, authority to engage, whoever, or whether singular or plural over there, that makes sense to me. And maybe I'm silly getting hung up on the verb negotiate, but I would like to hear from the other trustees. You know, I just might be overthinking it.
I agree. I was concerned about, you know, what exactly this is implying. Like you, I felt it was a little premature.
Yeah.
Because we're all just finding out about it too. And we had some property presented last month, and in between that, we had another proposal sent to us.
Right.
So I agree with you. But I'm totally okay with obtaining that proposal and finding out what we can do. and what we have to offer or to look at to compare. Mm-hmm. So maybe even if we have to make a motion to change the verbiage, if that's necessary, then I would support that too.
Yeah,
Mr. Kelly.
I agree. I do like where the area is at. Very near and dear to me in regards to having the kids access to a good library. But and I do understand Mr. Danny's trying to push it a little forward and getting some things happening. But negotiating in the verbiage, I would agree that we can probably change that. That way we can all make a decision together on the property that we have in front of us.
Ms. Orsamo?
When I think about the property and getting something for the Northeast Library, the only question that I have for all three properties that we would be looking at is with the purchase of the land that the LPSS is offering and the other two properties, Shadow Bluff and Willow, that they're offering to sell to us, would it meet the requirement and the request that the committee that was formed to discuss the Northeast Library, would it meet all of their expectations, their requests, and needs for the people that we are creating this library for in the first place? That, you know, that's all.
So I can answer that, Ms. Orsamo. Shadow Bluff and the LPSS property would both meet those needs. Because it is on Louisiana Avenue, and that is the area that we've previously tried to negotiate next to Infinity College. So I believe, given Mr. Glenn the authority to enter into further conversation with LPSS in regards to this, so we know what those 6 acres look like and the pricing of that with that appraisal, because I think this is an amazing opportunity, so I want to definitely thank Dr. Chasson and Mr. Santani and Councilman Carlson and Councilman A.B. Rubin, because we've all had these conversations when you have different governmental entities working together for the betterment of the community, I believe that's important. And for them to want to offer this, and this is not final, we just want to continue to have these conversations to see what that will look like, because we don't know totally if this will meet the needs just yet, but we want to further those conversations. So I think this is how we continue this dialogue and keep the momentum going for the members of our community that need this resource. And I'm like you, Pastor Kelly, I pass on Louisiana Avenue every single day. So we will definitely, our goal is to see past a library on Louisiana Avenue every single day. So I'm in favor of you know, changing the verbiage to whatever the board decides to just move the process forward. And I think we can come up with that with the help of Ms. Bate. I think we can come up with that tonight. Because I know Dr. Petrie is a wordsmith, so I think we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get it.
We can.
Words are important.
We can get there.
Let me see what I can say.
What I was wondering about is, and several people have put it very succinctly, what if is simply to authorize the executive director of the library
to
engage in discussions mm-hmm. with representatives of the school board? Counselor, would that suffice?
Might need a little bit more specific than that. Maybe okay. I would kind of counter with in authority to engage in discussions with the school board. I'm gonna say to finalize a formal offer for purchase of property and to do any acts necessary to do so, such as obtaining an appraisal through the purchasing department. But that's kind of, I think, what we're concerned about, is that we got to spend a little money to do this. An appraisal's not that expensive, but we, you know, we have to have it to pay fair market value. And just as a to clarify, we would have to get that for any property moving forward. So.
Do
Yep.
Okay. Any more board discussion? Okay, I guess I'll make that motion. I think Danny wrote it down already.
Started.
We can play back the audio.
The Lafayette Parish School System to finalize a proposal for the sale and purchase of property for the Northeast Library.
And we can maybe add and to perform any due diligence in regards to the Northeast Library project.
I don't want to say due diligence because that normally is part of a purchase agreement. We're not there yet.
So gotcha.
I would say, and to perform any acts necessary to do so. I think that works.
Okay, I like my motion. Thank you.
That's a beautiful motion. Right.
I second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Thomas and a second by Ms. Arsimal. All in favor? I'm rolling.
Lynette Mejia.
Public comment. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Lynette Mejia from Lafayette Parish. I did want to say thank you for moving forward with this and working on this project. As you all probably know, I'm a very big proponent of building this library on the northeast side. It's extremely important for this community. What I did want to speak to you tonight, and I don't have any prepared remarks, but what I did want to speak to you tonight is about making sure, and I've beat this drum many times up here, is making sure that the community is informed and involved in what you're doing. I know Danny has made a page on the library's website for information about this library. It's not been updated since January, so I think that needs to be addressed. I think that it would be a good idea if you all held something like a town hall or something on the north side. I, too, live up there. I pass Louisiana Avenue every day. I know lots of people on the north side. Tons of people up there know that I'm involved in the library, have come up to me and asked, what's the status on our library? When we get in our library, what's going on with the library up here? Lots of people, you know, I know it's been in the news, I know it's been in the media, but lots of people still don't know what the status is, what's going on. They don't necessarily read The Advocate or watch KLFY or whatever. They need to hear from you. They need to hear from you what's going on. So to have a town hall or to have an event here or to have an event at, you know, Chenier or one of the other libraries or a couple of events where, you know, one or two of you are there to answer questions or let them know that you care and that the project is moving forward and that, you know, what the status is, I think would go a long way toward rebuilding some of that trust in the community and you know, helping to communicate that information. So I just wanted to let you know. So thank you.
Thank you.
Timmy Chassaw.
Guys? Okay. Thank you to everyone. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate you guys. First, I'd like to start with we're not gonna lock Danny away in a room and get a signature out of him. I promise you, if there's anything that occurs to the point of which the board isn't happy with, we're some really nice guys. I promise you, all of us. So I do believe, regardless, Mr. Danny, anything that's discussed or negotiated with still has to come back to you guys for approval, just like we granted to our board designee, board president, and superintendent to enter with him into a room, hash it out, figure out what's what, and they still have to come back to us. So I can make things really easy for you guys. So we purchased 37.7 acres of land for $2.65 million. It's public knowledge. That appraises to $70,291 per acre. So at six, that would take you at about $421. So we just want to help. All we want to do is help facilitate this this perpetual ongoing discussion. We just want to help. The board does not care whether it's Shadow Bluff land, Infinity College land, our land. It doesn't benefit us any more than it being built at the other two sites. We just happen to have close to 40 acres of land right there, very close, I-10, I-49, Louisiana Avenue. It's readily available for you guys. Happy to sell it to you. If not, we're still going to build a possible multi-sports complex or an additional high school, a pre-K addition. We're going to use it for something. So it's not to trick anyone. We just want to make ourselves readily available for you. There's a gentleman in the back, Mr. Centani. He was riding home one day, gave me a call, passing that same Louisiana Avenue, and said, "Man, I got a great idea. Didn't that idea shoot down with the last land?" I said, "What about the land we just bought?" I said, "Oh, that's perfect. Absolutely." And then we started making phone calls. So we're just here to help. If you guys had any questions for us, I'll be more than happy to hang around afterwards. We just want to continue this. We want the library so bad on my side of town, like so bad. So bad, guys, so bad. You can build it in my backyard. You can have the land. So anything we can do to help, again, it's not for us. It's for everyone. And it's not the fact that it's our land. It could be somebody else's land. We're perfectly fine with it. Just if they enter into negotiations, they're going to come back and you approve and then we approve, or you guys may decide otherwise. But we just want to continue the conversation. And I appreciate y'all. These meetings are nothing like what I've heard, guys. It's great. This is amazing. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Carrie Williams.
Good evening. I support this thing 100% on the north side. Don't care where it's at. I do believe in children. That's the focus of me being a young man taught by a great pastor to love children. And I don't care where it be, it library, but I do believe in our children and the focus of our children to have a library on the north side. And that's all I want for our children. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it.
All right, thank you. Okay, hearing no any more public comments, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. Thank y'all. Okay, next on our agenda, we have executive session.
Do we need to make a motion to move?
Yes, ma'am.
I move that we recess or move into executive session.
Second.
Has something to say.
Oh,
right.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, do you want Danny and I to go with you into executive session?
I will have some questions for you both.
Okay.
So, yes.
So you would be going into executive session with us.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll move into executive session. So members of the audience, if you guys will not be sticking around, thank y'all for attending, and we will be moving into executive session.
Yes.
We'll be back.
We're gonna get our counselor to advise us.
Yep. So y'all are gonna make a motion to exit executive session and kind of come to order in the general meeting again. And then on the item that's on the agenda, make a motion.
I move that we exit the executive session and come to order in the general meeting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Armbruster and a second by Dr. Petrie. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any public comments?
I will move that the board accept the administrative personnel decision made by the library director.
Second.
We have a motion by Ms. Armbruster to accept the personnel decision made by the library director and a second by Dr. Petrie. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it and the motion is carried.
Do we want to do a July thing? We need a vote for July. Mr. Thomas, if I may, and then Ms. Bate, if you could please advise us as our counselor, the July meeting is optional. So I would like to move that we do not meet in July. If when I spoke to Danny earlier, Danny, if your opinion has changed, I don't know that we'd have anything that pressing.
Okay.
So if the board would be in favor, I would like to make a motion to not meet in July and then meet in August as our calendar allows.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Yeah. Oh. I have a motion by Ms. Armbruster to cancel our July meeting and resume in August, and a second by Dr. Petrie. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any public comment?
They couldn't. No.
Okay. So the next item is reminder that our board's yearly ethics training and sexual harassment training must be completed before December 31st, 2023. Next item on our agenda is public comments on any library business which is not on an agenda item.
Flossie Turner.
Hi, I'm Flossie Turner. I'm the vice president of the Friends of the Library. When Ms. Wingate was on the board, she would always get in touch with me about Friends events, and she's no longer on the board. So I wanted to let y'all know we're having a mini sale here at Maine. June 29th, 30th, and July 1st. It's smaller than our March and September sales at the Hyman Center, but we sell our books by the inch. All the money goes to the library, and we wanted y'all to know that. Second thing is I was privileged, I guess, to volunteer at Summer Reading Kickoff, where these two people sat in a dunking booth a lot of the day. It was wonderful, but what was wonderful was to watch the faces of not just the kids, but the adults and all the people that were there. If you've never been to a library kickoff, you owe it to yourselves to be there because it's very, very special. And it's a great event, whether it's at Maine or at South, there's always lots of people, and it's wonderful that our library and the staff puts on a wonderful event, and it was fantastic. One last thing, I have a daughter-in-law that has a doctorate. She, in counseling, she taught at UL, now she's at Tennessee Tech. She went to William & Mary, she went to Rice, she went to Ole Miss. What she misses about Lafayette is our library. She says she has never been in a city where there was a library that had as much activity, so many things to do, everything about this library spoke to her and thought it was wonderful. Y'all need to hear that, and the staff needs to hear that, because we have a wonderful library. And I just wanted to pass that along, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lynette Mejia.
I'm not going to be quite as glowing, sorry.
Would you lie first?
I would just like to briefly say that, given the month of June and everything it represents to so many people, this board and this library and continues to find ways to disappoint. Not only are we a year in to this ridiculous, backward, and embarrassing ban on displays, but here we are, sitting at this board meeting, discussing matters of grave importance for the African American community in this parish on Juneteenth of all days. To make people choose between celebrating this solemn day and coming here to continue to beg you for a library is so disrespectful it almost defies belief. I mean, this isn't hard. Acadia Parish libraries are closed today in observance of Juneteenth. St. Mary Parish libraries are closed today in observance of Juneteenth. Dupre Library is closed today in observance of Juneteenth. Vermilion Parish libraries are closed today in observance of Juneteenth. They also have displays that are filled with messages of diversity and inclusion, and books highlighting marginalized authors for their community to discover at all of their branches. Abbeville is outshining Lafayette by a mile right now. You could have chosen to show some respect. You could have chosen to reschedule to close the library. You could have chosen to allow displays that celebrate inclusion. Instead, you chose the path you always take, and our community continues to suffer for your choices. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aaron Chance.
Chance Lafayette Parish, give me a second. Okay, yes. I apologize for the lack of a script. I will not be able to give you an overblown, overdramatic speech, but I will be able to say that I'm quite concerned with the over-politicized nature of these meetings as of late. I've actually probably chosen a very poor time to point this out on account of the relatively tame nature of this meeting. However, I will not be able to speak since the July meeting was canceled, and I will be out of the state in August. As such, I feel it's best to, expedite this now. the concern I have is that very few of the discussions that are being held now seem to be particularly relevant to the library, and when they are, most of the time either side of the aisle is acting directly contrary to its purpose. By introducing the culture board of these kinds of issues, what you give us is a Morden's fork that will lead it, that, and both roads lead into ignorance, effectively. What we are given is a choice between the left-wing revisionism that gives us things like non-binary Oompa Loompas and what have you, this kind of belief that our history is evil and must be altered to fit with modern sensibilities, or we can take the approach favored by the right, which is to destroy information altogether. Either way, it all comes from a shared point of that's common to all participants in the culture war, of a pathetic hatred for knowledge and a pathetic fear of anything that could potentially offend them in any way, shape, or form by daring to run contrary to their arbitrary political affiliations. It really strikes me as it's almost analogous to how in a single party state, every facet of society, no matter how ultimately irrelevant, becomes nothing more than an apparatus of the party. Here we have the American party duopoly reducing everything into a front for their culture war, though I'm actually reluctant to call it such. The term culture war is derivative of the German Kulturkampf, which was a conflict which had some actual value, a conflict between the benevolent Catholic Church and the well-meaning but woefully misguided Bismarck, and it had an actual consequence. The culture war, I like to think of as precisely analogous to the Aztec flower wars, with the exception that while the Aztec flower wars were used to further the extractive institutions of the of those in power by opening the means to sacrifice men, the culture war enables those in power to sacrifice the bonds between men. I'm of course sure that many of you will, I'm not able to make a concluding comment as I'm out of time, but I simply wanted to share that frustration and express my vain hope that there will be something done about this, yes.
Thank you.
Amanda Anderson.
Hello, my name is Amanda Anderson and I live in Lafayette. And I would like to go on record that I support book displays celebrating Pride Month and Juneteenth. I also want to oppose a decision to schedule a meeting today on Juneteenth instead of rescheduling it in order to observe Juneteenth. I also support Lafayette Parish Library adopting Juneteenth as a local public holiday moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Do we have any board member comments? Okay, Mr. Kelly, can you lead us in a closing prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you today for this meeting today. Thank you for the wisdom and direction that you have provided for us. Thank you for every person here today. God, let us have wisdom going forward. to better serve our community and our fellow man. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, that is the end of our regular meeting. Everyone have a great evening. Thank you all for coming.